Okay, Kunal, watch this, huh? See, watch this. See, I'm gonna do some magic. Oh, the team is down way down. Yeah, it's very difficult to maintain a tire. It's just one chance. And
I guess I know what you're trying to do.
Well, what am I doing?
Trying to emulate the Iceman, Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah. This man is a smart man. He's my friend, and that's why we're together. My name is Ajay Rishi Kapoor from Mumbai. That's Kunal Shah. He's our Formula One expert. We both get together every week on this blog. Of course, every racing weekend on this blog. And we bring to you the highlights of the show. The show that Eccleston put up for us, which Bahrain put up for us, which wasn't that bad as we expected.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, thankfully, there was no Bahrain for us like it was in 2010.
Absolutely. And that old track layout was so confusing. This one is a lot more straighter, a lot more driver friendly. We enjoy the overtaking. And yesterday, the tires, wow.
The tires put up a very good show.
Very good show. I hate the marbles, but I must tell you, Renault, Kimi, they're my winners.
Certainly. I mean, you know, a lot of people say they got a botched qualifying effort and he ended up being 11th, etc.
Correct.
But you know, like Schumacher said, qualifying isn't all that important, especially with, you know, now KERS and DRS being available in the race for overtaking. And I think Kimi did a fantastic job to get onto the second step of the podium.
What I don't understand is Grosjean was like a mile ahead of him. And suddenly Kimi comes flying from nowhere, actually overtakes Grosjean the entire field and then challenges for victory. Which means there was something that Kimi had in his car that Grosjean didn't.
Fresh rubbers, I guess, that point of time.
Very, very valid point. And coming to rubber, Michael Schumacher has really criticized the rubber that Pirelli is using. And he's actually said that these tires do not allow us to drive on the limit and I can't push my car all the way, I have to underdrive.
You know, it's a very strange comment. The reason why I say strange yet is because I haven't done full research on it yet. But I think what he's trying to say is possibly gone are the days when, you know, drivers like him could make a comeback even after starting P20 and P22 and P24.
Correct.
I guess that's because of the fragile nature of the tires. That's because also the tires are really closely matched as well. So maybe that's, you know, he couldn't make a comeback. He finished only 10th in possibly what he did last year. I think in China, he came up to P5 or something.
Yeah, and Pirelli actually came back saying that Michael really liked the tires in the preseason testing and now he's changing his tune and stuff like that. It's a lot of controversy and we love controversy.
It's a typical agency brand fight, if you ask me. Pirelli were given a brief, they produced tires as per that brief, and the agency that's Formula One now has to live with it.
The man that actually calls the shots in Formula One, Bernie Eccleston, he made sure we had a race, he made sure we had an entertaining race. Now, kudos to F1 for calling this shot, but was it safe? What do you think?
I think it was safe. The fact that, you know, Formula One actually had a very few off-track incidents, I think it was safe. But somewhere the sport ended up taking sides, which is what, you know, a lot of critics didn't like, which is probably what I didn't like as well. But, you know, like we keep saying, I mean, I'm talking completely from a fan's perspective. I'm happy that we have 20 races in the calendar.
But Kunal, you never told me that Harry Potter was invited for them. I mean, what was that invisibility cloak that suddenly Force India wore and they were just not shown in qualifying? And what happened there? You have to tell me about the politics inside.
I have no idea, trust me.
Okay, but there have been a lot of talking about it. And as far as I know, there's somebody who said that, yes, Force India weren't shown. There was a controversy behind it. And the TV channel producers, etc. boycotted them for not coming for free practice too. What they should have done is during the race, run in the off-course areas of the track and taken another shortcut. And they might just have been shown. But yeah, very good show by Paul di Resta. What a brilliant strategy.
Fantastic. You know, he was the only driver in the top 10 on a two-stopper. I think he's a brilliant driver and he showed it, you know, yesterday as well.
But a little bit of luck?
Certainly. I mean, when you have a different tire strategy, you certainly need a lot of luck.
Okay, someone who got lucky, according to me, is our man Vettel. I personally think Raikkonen was very close to grabbing victory. But I don't know where it went wrong, why Raikkonen couldn't actually challenge him for victory when he passed everybody else so easily.
You know, the Lotus was actually quick on both the compounds of the tires. Mm-hmm. All right. Somewhere I think where they let slip was when they pitted on the same lap in the last stint, you know.
Correct.
And I think that's probably where they didn't let the battle of the pit crews. They didn't let, you know, Kimi Raikkonen have some more open space and open up a few more seconds.
And that stonking think, in lap.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, yeah, he's capable of doing that. We know that. You know, yeah. he would have really killed that last millimeter of rubber on those Pirelli tires and tried something. But I was also surprised that he couldn't close in after his, you know, pit stop and, you know, probably DRS his way through Vettel. But you know what? It's Kimi. He is going to win this year and he's back.
I'm so surprised that Michael couldn't do what he could. So, but kudos. I think he's really, really talented. According to me, he's more talented than Alonso and Michael Schumacher as well.
Next.
Okay. But total lockout by Renault and the Renault powered cars and very well done, I must say. Great turnaround.
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, considering Mercedes had a lockout in China and the fact that Renault got a lockout and in fact even fourth position. I think it's brilliant for the engine manufacturers as well.
Four teams have won and they've done it in a very different fashion, different style in the first four races. This is probably predicted to be the most closest F1 season ever in history. But where do you think, what is the pecking order? What is it looking like?
I'll tell you what, I can't predict the pecking order at the top, but what I certainly can do is tell you for now what the pecking order for the bottom is going to be. So most of the races we're going to see P19 and P20 for Caterham. We'll probably have P21, P22 for Marussia, and then P23 and 24 for HRT.
But actually, De La Rosa out-qualified one of the Marussias.
He did, but you know, the Marussias had an issue with one of their engines. I guess they had some car issue. I can't remember what. And that's one of the reasons why even Glock was suffering in the races. But coming back to your pecking order, it's really difficult. Like you said, four drivers, four different teams have won the first four races. You know, when we thought Button and McLaren would win, you know, we saw them struggle in Bahrain. In fact, they had a retirement and so on and so forth. But a very close season, a very competitive season.
Okay.
The good thing is each driver is taking points of the other and not each other, if you know what I mean.
Correct.
And suddenly we have the top 10 drivers, I think, you know, separated. Top five drivers separated by about 10 points.
What suddenly went wrong with Rosberg and the Mercedes team? I can understand Michael had an uphill climb, but what went wrong with Rosberg? Because he seemed to have tuned the car for the race, so he qualified for...
I think temperatures and tires. There's nothing more to it, you know, than what I'd assume. And it hotter temperatures in China, tires of course were degrading, you know. We all expected him to really blaze the track after, you know, Chinese Grand Prix win and some brilliant pace in the free practice sessions as well. But I guess, you know, reality struck.
Absolutely. I have a job offer for you. Walking, of course, you should go there. Put on a suit, which is for the left rear tire changer. Get a new gun for yourself because they have a very pathetic team that changes tires once in every
race. It was surprising. Two really horrible pit stops. Two consecutive ones. Of course, Button suffered in the same stop last weekend as well. And surprising, you know, from a team like McLaren. But I'm sure they'll bounce back. I mean, pit stops are taken very seriously. I know that every single day of the year, they have pit stop practice for close to half an hour every day. And I'm talking of an average Formula One team.
That's amazing.
And, you know, knowing the standards McLaren set for themselves, you never know.
Okay, new standards for our blog. Now onwards, in every blog, Kunal is going to give us three news pieces, which are very important, which are very confidential, if you may call it. But yeah, of course, you know about it, I know about it. But how can it change your F1 viewing experience? Kunal, are you ready?
Very much.
Number one.
So did you know the French Grand Prix is making a comeback next year?
Magny-Cours?
No. Paul Ricard.
The Paul Ricard circuit?
That's correct.
The one that's been usually used for commercials and testing and stuff?
That's correct.
Oh, that's amazing.
But if you're a Belgian Grand Prix fan, which I'm guessing every single person listening
Absolutely.
To this blog and
Spa.
Not listening to this blog are, the French Grand Prix is actually going to alternate with the Belgian Grand Prix.
No.
Yes, that's correct.
No, Bernie,
But the bigger trigger here is... Where are they going to slot in the race? So they are either going to have to kick one of the other races out, or again we'll see another race alternate with the other. For which they are saying the two venues in Spain, Barcelona and Valencia, will probably alternate going forward as well.
Take Valencia out, we do not
completely
like it. Absolutely, we hate it. Number two.
The fact is, we could possibly also see more than 20 races a year.
Where is this going?
I don't know. I'm happy seeing as many races as possible.
So am I. Okay, last but not the least.
Bernie Ecclestone's idea of a Grand Prix Grand Slams. And you know, this is where I guess he wants to put in the idea so he can increase the number of races a year.
I don't get it.
Quite simply put, it's going to be like how the tennis circuit works, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a calculated guess though. So I hopefully am not too much off the mark. So what will happen is you'll probably say, for example, have 30 races in the year.
30 races.
Enjoy it. But for being a championship contender, you will... mandatorily have to participate in say 20 or 22 races as deemed by the FOM and the FIA. So technically, you will still have 30 Formula One races, but the core championship contenders that you'll have in an Alonso or a Hamilton or a Schumacher or a Raikkonen will drive in a few of those only.
And Massa can drive the rest.
Yeah, why not? Probably good. It gives good exposure to junior talent coming up as well, etc., etc. But you know, I have a question.
Huh.
The non-Grand Slam Grand Prix, would you really go to watch them if an Alonso and a Schumacher and the other stalwarts of motorsport were not participating?
If I get to drive in it, I might just. Okay, Kunal. So next, the first time after, I don't know how many years, we have an in-season test. That's in Mugello. That's a three-day test, right?
That's a three-day test.
And McLaren is not getting their A drivers there. They're getting the Gary Paffes of the world and stuff like that to test there.
Correct.
Which is very brave. As far as the next race is concerned, Barcelona, I think it's a clean sweep for Vettel.
It's a very aero-heavy track. I completely agree that it's a Red Bull track.
Uh-huh.
But somewhere I have a feeling that McLaren's will not be as far behind as, you know, possibly they've been. But I don't know if the Mercedes is going to do as well. But you know what? Mm. Hold on to those predictions. Mm-hmm. Because I will make them only after I see the Mugello test and I follow the Mugello test. Because I expect a lot of teams to bring a lot of upgrades.
Correct.
To their exhaust configurations and
Absolutely.
Stuff, which will help them hopefully generate some more downforce at the rear end and stabilize the rear end and stuff.
Oh, which also gets me to the important question. Do you think any other team would test the all-new rear wing that Mercedes has as a spec?
I'm certain. I'm certain they'll probably copy it or innovate from there onwards. But I'm certain they will, you know, bring it there. Because there are benefits you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mercedes straight line benefit duct or the DRS-enabled duct is giving them, as, you know, those couple of tenths down the main straight.
Mm.
I'm certain we'll have a few teams following it and copying it.
That's brilliant. We are breaking into a new leg of Formula One. That's the European leg. The all-important European leg where the temperatures change. Well, the tire degradation is going to be different. We're going to be different because we're going to be talking a lot more fancy about Formula One. Till then, you can keep listening to us. And in case you have a comment or two, you can click on the link below. Always ask a question and we'll be happy to answer it. And Kunal has asked me not to say a bye, so I'm not even going to look at him. Kunal, I'm looking in another direction. Don't look at me.